Welcome to the Antioch Word, a podcast for the Antioch College community. My name is Rachel Isaacson. I'm a co-host and Miller Fellow here at WISO Public Radio Station. Today we'll hear an interview with Albert Schumann, who was a theater arts and drama major at Antioch College in the early 1950s. He spoke with current Antioch student Thomas Amrine last summer during the college's 2017 reunion. In this interview, Albert shares his onward and upward journey from being a farm boy in Illinois to entering the world of radio. He also talks about his experiential learning experiences, interacting with Rod Serling, and his perception of Antioch's image during the McCarthy era. Thanks for listening to the Antioch Word.
I was graduated in 1952, and originally I was thought to be a radio journalism major, but somewhere along the line I ended up being a theater arts drama major.
Well, what initially attracted you to Antioch then?
Well, I think it was it seemed to be a place where the radio journalism interest that I had was I was going to be able to pursue. That's what I thought I wanted to do, what I wanted to be. I had done some, writing for newspapers and so on when I was in high school, and I'd done some PA announcing at the sporting events, at the football games and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think Antioch has a knack for taking the thing you thought you were interested in and then turning it inside out.
Right. They twist it just a little bit. It was a revelation to me. I was born in southern Illinois, and to me it was very much a step up. I didn't live or work on a farm, but I was really a corn-fed Illinois farm boy when I got here. And from that point on, it was no way of stopping me. It was onward and upward.
What was one of your most memorable co-ops that you can remember?
I think probably I went out to Moylan, Pennsylvania, Rose Valley, which is west of Philadelphia, to the Hedgerow Theater. I was supposedly going there for a three-month period, but like so many of the co-op jobs I ended up doing, I went 7 months from the spring to through both summer quarters and into the fall, so I didn't get back till early November.
I mean, why did you stay for so long?
Well, I got to liking the idea of blending. You had A div and B div, and if you stayed on the campus for the whole, four academic quarters, then that was C div. I got to liking doing it in chunks. I preferred both the jobs and the academics to be longer periods of time. So I finagled it to work it out to operate that way.
Yeah, that's the other interesting thing about Antioch is I think there's a lot of room to finagle.
Right.
Yeah, that's part of the... I was interviewing somebody earlier today, and they were saying, like, he came in to Antioch. They said, all right, we'll see you when you graduate. Do what you want.
Right.
Said you have, some people that were involved in the creation of this
station
that we're
yes.
in right now.
In 51-52 in North Hall, there was a studio there that was set up by someone named Jerry File, and he set up a radiator radio system where the signal went out to all the dormitories, but it traveled over the water pipes and the radiator pipes.
Wow.
And I think that was the first radio station that they had here. Now, I could be wrong about that, but in my, and during my period from 47 on, that was unique. Wow. And the idea of that sort of setup was I was unfamiliar with it. I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't either. Yeah. So it just propagates through the pipes. Or
it
something?
Took a signal through and shot it out through the pipes. Yes.
Huh. I've never heard of that before. I wonder if that's done on any professional scale nowadays.
I doubt it. I mean, you wouldn't need to because you can create the broadcast facilities so much easier. But at that time, there was no antenna or broadcasting tower
right.
available, and so that's what he used.
I'm interested in this because I am working on starting back up the student radio station Antiwatt, and we're actually starting to make some progress, and we're like building the studio, We recently got our hands on a more powerful 12-watt transmitter.
Uh-huh. You think it would work now like it did then? You think you could put it on the pipes?
On the pipes? I have no idea how to do that, but I mean...
Worth a try,
yeah,
right?
If he's still around, maybe I could pick his brains.
Well, he's probably, you know, I'm 87, so he's somewhere in his 80s if he's still going.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I think something I'd be interested in is getting the alumni maybe involved in starting back up Anti-Watt, because there's a lot of people that are, you know, have a history with the student radio station and with YSO when it was more of a student station.
Right.
And so, yeah. I think there's a lot of opportunity here at Antioch to kind of do things like that.
Well, I worked in Springfield at a radio station as an announcer. I worked in my hometown in Illinois. Again, several blocks of time, 7 months, in Carmi, Illinois, WROY. It was started by the then congressman from our district, who was Roy Clippinger, and he was the editor of the local newspaper, and he got the license and named the station after himself.
I was going to ask if that was a coincidence.
No, not at all. And so I worked we had a radio workshop for doing radio drama, and you know, there's a lot of radio drama available, but not often do you have the author there, you know, to help you. But we had Rod Serling, who was a student here and living over in a trailer. They had trailers on campus, but right across from Maples. The configuration is different now than it was then. But he and his wife were living in Maples, married housing, they called it.
Oh, so he was already married when he was a student here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How old was he?
Well, he had been a veteran, so I was the first freshman class to come in 1947 who weren't veterans. We were in South Hall, and we had 20 students in the lower, I don't know if it's east or west, but... in the lower dorm, all the rest of the, it was a male dorm, and all the rest of the units were veterans.
Wow.
Because it was 1947, and the veterans came flowing back after the end of the, you know, the Second World War.
I guess for some reason that surprises me that Antioch would attract such a large body of veterans. Because it has such a history of, you know, these...
Well, it you know, I mean, locally, it was a seething bed of revolution, of communism and blah, blah, blah. It didn't have that reputation anywhere else. That was just a local phenomenon.
Huh.
And there were people that were profiting at that time by pursuing, you know, the communists. And it was very funny. Paul Treichler was one of the three people that ran the drama department. He, Meredith Dallas, and Arthur Lithgow, John's father. So at that time, I was working at a radio station over in Dayton. And this guy, Harvey Matuso was his name, was over there trying to get broadcast time to spew more of his anti-communist information. Well, the guy who was running the studio was an Antiochian who was running the station. And I went to him and I said, this so-and-so is bad news. And I spoke to Jesse Treichler, Paul's wife, who was the assistant to the president. And we laid a booby trap for him. We got his butt fired. Between the head of the radio station and the administration over here. And I met Harvey many years later. And by that time, he was, contrite. And he said, yeah. I said, that was a sorry period. I'm really sorry I ever did any of that. Thank God you stopped me.
That's funny.
But yeah, we were not really that left wing.
Yeah, that's interesting, because somebody else I talked to today said the same thing, that whole image was kind of more self-proclaimed than anything else.
Yeah, it was like most of McCarthyism. It was, manufactured, had very little basis in fact. But the right-wing elements love to use it.
Hmm. So how much of Antioch's alternative image do you think is widely accepted today, and how much of it do you think is actually kind of just fabricated?
Well, I don't know if Antioch has any kind of a reputation of that sort at all now. I mean, it seems to me that it's pretty much golden, that it has a very good reputation and everybody thinks very highly of it, and certainly none of that nonsense even exists anymore. And I can't imagine having any problem recruiting students for the college now, particularly if they're able to come up with enough scholarship money and so on to help those that need it. I gather it didn't cost $5,500 or whatever, $55,000, which they say it costs now to go to school here.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it costs that much to go to school anywhere. My God, educational institution won't have students if that's what's involved.
Well, that's interesting, because I think one of the something I've heard again and again here is that students who are paying to come here are really frustrated with the structure of Antioch, because when you're paying that much money for something, you would think that it wouldn't be, welcome to Antioch, we'll see you when you graduate, build it yourself. And so I think, even though, I mean, that's what makes Antioch Antioch, mm-hmm. So I think that frustrates a lot of people when they first get here.
Well, I didn't feel it was that way when I was here in 47 to 52. It was pretty structured. I mean, you had the co-op system, the whole calendar system, and very definite academic departments, and I didn't get the feeling that it was laissez-faire at all. It seemed to me at that time that there you had to pretty much conform to the system, and it was a very good system to conform to.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. I guess that's one of the ways that it has changed a lot now, because this, I think, Western education in general really stresses conformity to a certain set of laws and rules and whatnot. And if you follow them, you'll do great. And I think maybe that's not quite as much the case at Antioch right now.
Well, I only have my, that's not true. I don't only have my Antioch experience. I got a graduate fellowship to go to Smith College. And when they weren't admitting men, except the drama department needed men, it was a graduate program. And Hallie Flanagan Davis, who founded the Federal Theater under Roosevelt in the 30s, and then after he fired her, she ended up at Vassar, and finally at Smith. And she was, not a conformist at all. I mean, she was way out there. Lost my point.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's easy to get lost in your points with.
Well, I was supposed to go to Yale. I got admitted to Yale, to the Yale Drama School. Wow, ho, hooray. I don't want to go to Yale. It was a very fancy drama school. But I was much happier at Smith as a graduate student, and then getting out in the field and making hay while the sun shone, and even when it did,
yeah.
Which I did. I was very lucky in that regard.
Well, for somebody that's maybe in search of the right college for them, or just for some formative experience, a young person in search for a formative experience or college in their life, what piece of advice would you give to them?
I think you need a program that is not cut and dried, that is not, all sorts of parameters, and you have to do this and that and something else. I think the freedom that you have here to pick and choose and plan your own course is a much better preparation, because you're not just following blindly what they tell you to do. You're having to make choices on your own, and you're having to chart your own course. And I think that's very important. I think it's much more helpful than going to a four-year college where it's all prescribed and all you have to do is show up at, whatever the classes are.
That was Antioch College alumnus Albert Schumann speaking with former WISO Miller Fellow Thomas Amrine. I'm Rachel Isaacson. Thanks for listening to The Antioch Word. You can find more episodes on WISO.org and NPR One.